down in Koala Country, there is a man named Danny Boy. This boy swam through rivers of Vegemite and fought off dangerous boxing kangaroos so he could be here for you today. It is my pleasure to bring to you Australia's favorite horror show, the Creepy Crap Podcast.
Beware, this show will contain spoilers, swearing, and adult themes. If you want to get it on the socials, you can get it at Instagram and YouTube all at one word at the Creepy Crap Podcast. Would love if you could like, follow, subscribe on there. And if you check it out on any podcast app, please follow and give it a 5-star review if you want. Thank you very much.
And now for your host, Danny Boy.
Merry Christmas, Creepy Crapses. There's a Christmas episode of the Creepy Crap Podcast. It's not a Christmas movie. It just happens to be Christmas Day. It was the day this is getting released. It's the 25th of December, so it's Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you threw it away. That's right. I'm sure you're not listening to this actually on Christmas Day, but it was Christmas when it came out. So I hope you had a great day, everyone. And if you do happen to be listening today, well, hope you enjoy listening about Sweet River. That's right, this week I'm doing the Netflix movie Sweet River. It was released in 2020, goes for 102 minutes, has an Internet Movie Database rating of 5 out of 10. It was directed by Justin McMillan. It stars Martin Sachs, Lisa Kay, Chris Haywood, and Rob Carlton. And if you want to hear the plot, well, here it is. And a search for her son's body leads her to the sleepy town of Billing, where her investigations uncover more than she expected and threaten to expose the town's secrets. Secrets that both the living and the dead will fight to protect. Ooh, that sounds pretty interesting. So that's why I've chosen. I've watched this once before, so this is my second viewing, and let's get stuck in 2020 Sweet River. The movie starts off with Hannah. She's waking up from a nightmare. Looks like she's lost her son. She's living with the grief from that. We see a guy, he's drinking at a pub, he's talking about harvesting a field for money, he's basically drinking the last few cents he has, and the guy decides to drink drive, he's heading off, he drops a lighter as he's about to try to light his cigarette, and he hits a little girl that's in the middle of the road. He drives to the side of the road, pulls over, and then he looks and he can't find her anywhere. He's got a red flashlight, he's looking around, he hears a noise near these crops, he walks over there, he gets grabbed. It's the morning now, the sun's starting to rise, and then we see him face down in a river there, and he's like, oh my god, whatever grabbed him has killed him and thrown him in the river. And then we see Hannah, properly, and she is coming to rent the place that was from the guy that just died. And he's got a little cottage at the back of this main property, and she's there, and she's kind of like, hey, I'm here to rent the place. And the lady who answers the door, Eleanor's like, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't do this. And then the husband comes out, it's Martin Sachs, his name's John, and he's like, hey, sorry about my wife, she's a bit on edge lately and all this sort of stuff. But he gives her a key and takes her over there, and he goes, if you need anything, we're just over here, there you go, enjoy yourself. She starts to unpack, and you can see the area they're in, and it's all cane fields, like sugar cane and all this sort of stuff, and I feel like it's either got to be like close to the Queensland border or just before it. It's amazing. I love all this stuff. When you drive to Queensland, I don't know if anyone's from Australia, but if you are, if you go from New South Wales to Queensland, if you drive there, you go through a ton of this towards the Queensland side of the border, and you're like, wow, oh, it's amazing. It looks so nice. You got all the big mountains in the background. It looks great. She's in a little cottage that's there, and a cottage, I mean, it just looks like a full-scale house, but she's in the middle of these crops, and that's where she's going to stay for a while. She needs to get away from where she was. She's trying to deal with the grief of her son dying and all this sort of stuff, but she's also got a sponsor she was on the phone to at the beginning, and so you get the vibe that she must have been an alcoholic or a drug abuser or something like that. So she's got some shit that she's got to deal with. So this is why she's here. She just wants to get away from everything. I feel like that's why she's here. But then we realize later, she's got an agenda. We see John start to drive off. He doesn't go too far and he stops where the cops were that Hannah also saw on the way into the place. Someone's died on the side of the road. We see it's the guy from the beginning. And John gets out, and I don't know if he was like an old detective or something like that, or he just happens to know the cops. There's something going on where these guys are like really sort of, hey, you go take a walk quickly and all this sort of stuff. And then the main cop, which is played by Rob Carlton, is talking to John. We just found him face down in the river, and he's like, it seems a bit odd if he lived just there. Why would he pull over for a piss? That's what happened, okay? That's what we're going with. He pulled over for a piss, and he was found face down in the river. He must have fallen, tripped, and drowned, and that's what we're going with. He's like, you know that's bullshit. We can't keep doing this. Well, that's what we're doing, mate. Leave it, okay? Let it go, all right? I know what I'm doing here. And then it's the night time and Hannah wakes up. She keeps waking up with sort of flashbacks or whatever else. And she sees all these red lights. She's like, what's going on here? She's like, there's a lot of red lights over this river, over the other side of the field. There's a lot of red lights in this movie. Like, they've got torches. The guy's lights are red. You're like, what is up with the red lights? We find out later, but at this point, you don't have any idea what's going on. And you just find out that she's got all these newspaper clippings and she puts them all over the walls and on the floor and all this sort of stuff. And the serial killer looks like he's killed 5 kids and 4 bodies have been found, but one hasn't. And sadly, the 5th one is her son. And she just wants answers. She must have been here at some point. I don't know if she lived here. I'm guessing she did. She must have, because otherwise, why was the kid captured while he was here? Like, what, he just took him here randomly? You would never find him. Because she does know Wilkins, because they talk earlier. He's like, you never looked hard enough. But yeah, she's kind of like got all this stuff. And she's here purely to do an investigation, which you feel like she's here to grieve and move on, but she's not. She wants answers. She wants to find her boy. And that's why she's here. And that's why she's specifically at this place as well. She's like, I need to be right in the heart of everything. There's something suspicious going on and she wants answers. So she goes to the pub, and I think this is just a test to see how strong she can be with not drinking. And she goes there, she just gets a lemonade. She's not really there for any real reason. She was just talking about like, oh, I've got the place. And the guy's like, oh, that's the guy who died. Yeah, sad. You know, I prefer if he sat here, he could drink like a lizard, but you know, it's sad he died and all this sort of stuff. And she's like, yeah. And she's trying to ask questions and everyone's like, stop asking questions. And the whole thing, stop asking. No one wants to hear anything. This town likes to keep quiet. Stop asking stuff. And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to do the opposite of that. She pretty much does the opposite of everything throughout this movie, actually. Every time they tell her to do anything, oh, okay, you want me to do that? All right, I'm going to do it. It's like, no, I said, don't do it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. You're like, oh my God, you're a pain in the ass. But yeah, she's basically like, I'm just going to try and find out where my son is. I feel like someone's probably got an answer here. There's something going on. If everyone wants to stay quiet, I'm going to find out why they're staying quiet. She goes back to the house and then John asks her over for dinner. Her and Eleanor are having a bit of a chat. She goes, oh, I saw some toys around. Have you got a child around somewhere? And she's like, yeah, she's not here at the moment and all this sort of stuff. And she goes, oh, did you lose her? I'm so sorry. And she goes, I just need a minute. She walks away because John at one point goes, yeah, we've lost our child. And she's like, you keep talking about her like she's gone. He's like, she has gone. And she's like, oh, I don't know why you're talking like this. I need a moment. And she walks away. And John's like, yeah, sadly, our daughter, Violet, she drowned. Eleanor's just not handled it very well. But I've lost a child as well. And so they're kind of bonding. It seems like everyone in this town has lost someone recently because of the crops or this bus crash or whatever else. We find the answers out as we go. But yeah, it's just like, oh, awkward. Very sad. She's not directly saying it out loud, but she's essentially saying that, like, you found your daughter. She drowned. That sucks. But my son is still missing. I know all these kids were murdered, but I don't know where my son is. Why is mine the only one that wasn't found? I need answers. And this leads to John talking about the red lights, because she's like, your lights on the car are red, John. Like, she talks to everyone so rudely. She must have lived here and knows them vaguely, because I feel like if you're brand new to this town, get some fucking manners. It's still rude the way she's talking anyway. You're almost like, hey, dial it back down. And everyone is kind of like, shut the fuck up. Like, stop asking questions. This town doesn't want to open old wounds. Stop asking questions. And every time she gets told to do something, she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway, so whatever. She's kind of really annoying like that, because she's like, I just want to know what happened to my son. But he starts talking about the red lights because she sees it at night. She's like, what are the red lights for? And he's like, well, the red lights across the river is that the families that across the river that didn't lose children that day in the bus crash, they represent that they understand that we have a loss and they won't be forgotten. So the red lights are to represent that. It's kind of like a sick reminder every day. But anyway, they're there. That's what they like to do. That's what happens. That's why we've got red lights. But it doesn't explain why everything else is red. And she's like, okay, cool. So the next day, Hannah decides to sneak into the house that was the serial killer that killed her son, or she thinks it is at least, and she looks around for a while, and then we see a guy in a reflection. You're like, oh shit. But then we turn around, he's not there, and you're like, oh, okay, wow, seeing ghosts now already, shit. She starts panicking, she sits down, she's having a panic attack and all that sort of stuff. She goes back down, she walks into a room because she hears a sound, she's like, oh, shit, she starts running away, walks into the room, there's Wilkins, the cop, and he's like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, shit. And then they start having a smoke outside, he's like, you can't just come back in here, stop opening old wounds, why are you here? You need to just go, you shouldn't be here, it's not good for you. I need to know, why didn't you guys keep looking for my son? I want to know why you didn't keep looking. And she just wants answers. It's like the crops are the main people's source of income here. We can't burn all the crops down hoping to find something in this field. If they're not in the fields, that's everyone's income gone just for the search. We couldn't do it. I'm so sorry. That's why they ended it. The second the guy hung himself, that was when the funds ended. We couldn't do anything else. I'm so sorry. And she's like, you're not sorry. You didn't do enough. Hey, Why don't you just fucking pack your stuff and leave? You're talking to us like shit now. Just fucking leave, okay? And she's like, no, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave. You can't tell me what to do and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, all right. And then she just keeps wandering around these houses on her own. She looks around at one point and there's this homeless guy as well they keep seeing. And there's all these red eyes. And I'm like, what does the red eyes mean? I feel like it's never explained either. There's all this graffiti that has like red eyes and they're kind of weeping. And she goes to this shed at one point. She's looking around, sees the guy briefly. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And runs off. And she's just doing all this investigating on her own. I'm like, Jesus, be careful. So again, it's nighttime. John goes into bed and he's like, where's me wife, son? The bed's empty. He goes outside. He's like, oh, fuck's sake, not again. He walks through the crops and then he finds her and she's in there and you're like, wait, was she really a good girl then? Who's she talking to? He's like, come on, you got to get back. She's like, oh no, it's got to, all right, I'll come back. And then in the morning, Hannah goes jogging and she's running down the crops, like down the road or whatever. I kind of lose track of how big this property is. But then there's another car there and she gets there quickly. And then the lady like jumps in the car, drives off. You're like, what the fuck was that? It was so strange. And then she sees a little boy run off. She's like, wait, what are you doing? And she's like, where did he go? And then she sees two other boys and she's like, wait, what are you doing? And she runs around the corner and then she sees Eleanor again. She's like, did you see those boys? And she's like, come with me, have a cup of tea. And she's like, did you just see where those boys went? I literally just saw two boys. And she never addresses the boy scene. You're like, fucking answer her already, Jesus. And then she goes back to the house and she's like, yeah, the crops have weird powers, hey, like a lot of stuff happens here. We were meant to get rid of them the day after the bus crash. You know, we're not now. We're going to leave them there forever, so we don't want anyone to touch them. And she's like, yeah, but who were those boys from earlier? And she goes, boy, I don't know. And she's like barely answering it. And she's like, I don't understand. I feel like they want you to find your son, so forces will show you where he is eventually. Just got to wait. You got to be patient, but that will show you where he is. What are you talking about? And then she doesn't say anything else. I'm like, so fucking vague and weird and mysterious. But Hannah is starting to lose it a little bit because everyone is being so suspicious. And then at one point, Hannah wakes up and there's someone next to the bed. And I didn't see this. It was kind of dark. I was like, four, shit. Who the fuck is that? There's someone next to there. I'm like, oh, geez. All right. You got me a little bit on that one, to be fair. I don't usually get done with the jump scares. Kind of watching intently because I'm just like, what's happening? I'm like, oh, shit. There's someone there. Like, oh, you got me on that one. Well played. I was like, that was nice. And then she just kind of runs out and she goes out. There's a bunch of kids outside. She's like, they're everywhere. What is doing? And she runs to John's place and she's banging on the door. She's like, John, there are people there. She's there. He's like, you know what you need to do? Pack your stuff and leave. No one likes you asking all these questions here. It's upsetting people. The town doesn't like it. They don't want you asking all these questions about the past. It's the best thing you can do. Just get your stuff and leave. Here's a red light though. We want you out soon, okay? Please. It's the best thing you know. We're not trying to be rude, but you need to go. Hannah pretty much ignores all the warnings about stop asking people questions and stop being nosy and all that stuff. And she goes and asks the bus driver what happened that day. And he was talking about, yeah, I was just driving the bus. It was all good. And then I saw Max come out on his bike. I had a swerve. And then next thing I know, I'm in the river. And then it just happened so quick. And I didn't think the kids even know what happened before they drowned. And the door smashed. And that was the only way I was able to actually get out. And it was just like, oh, I don't know what happened. It happened so quick. And she's like, oh, but what happened here? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. He's like, just stop asking questions. And everyone's like, stop asking fucking questions. And then we see her like pretty much straight away. She meets one of the locals who was at the bar again. She's drinking now, by the way. She's just drinking casually. She's lying to the sponsor that she's drinking. And she gets tablets now. So she's on pills. I think she's smoking weed for a fair bit as well. She's drinking, smoking, and taking tablets. And she's just spiraling. She's like, I know something's up here. I need to know questions. She's talking to Eleanor again, but Eleanor's talking about seeing the kids in the field at night. And then Hannah's like, what do you mean seeing kids? And she's like, I don't know. They're there, but it's the only time I get to talk to my little Violet. And she's like, what are you talking about? But Hannah is clearly spiraling at this point. She's watching all these cars at night. And she's like, what's happening here? And she runs over there. And she's running over in a singlet. She's like fresh out of bed. Because she's like, what is all this noise? You can kind of see she's not wearing a bra. Like, oh, hello. The cars aren't the only one with the headlights on, if you know what I'm saying. She's running over and she's like, what's going on here? But she plays it coolly a little bit. And she sees all these parents. There's three different cars there. And they're hugging all these like kids in the crops. You're like, what the fuck is happening here? Are they hugging dead kids? Is the ghost of these kids that died living in the crops? And that's what the kids we keep seeing sitting on the roof, running across the road, all these little kids that pop up all around the place, and Violet's included, they come there, they hug them, and they're all this sort of shit, but they're like dead versions of what they are now, but they can come there and see them as long as these crops are here or something. The crops have magical power. And she's watching it, and then she sees this kid Max, and they're like, run. There's at one point as well, Hannah goes back to the serial killer's house. because she sees Violet on the balcony. She's like, what? What's this going on? She runs up there and the girl's like, you gotta be careful of Max. I'll show you what you need to do. Because in the morning one day, she sees these shoes and they're muddy shoes. And they were her son's shoes. She's like, these were all boys. And because they were like, if there's new evidence, we can open the case again. But otherwise, no. And they say, well, a bit convenient that there's fucking shoes here. We'll send them to the city. We'll get forensics. And he goes to grab them. She's like, no, don't touch them. Wear gloves. What are you doing? She's like, you fucking idiot. He's like, you know what? Why don't you stop talking to me like that? Why don't you get your bag and leave? Leave now. He's like, stop asking questions. You're upsetting the whole town. Just leave. You being here is not good for anyone. And she's like, but there was bodies. I saw them. And everyone's like, nah, you didn't. And she's talking to John and all this sort of stuff. But then she goes back to the serial killer's house. She sees Violet and Violet's like, you got to be careful of Max. I'll show you what you need, but you've got to leave after you get it, okay? She's basically like, I'm going to show you where your son is. Just do what I say. Be careful of Max and all that. But while she's still looking around the house, she breaks the frame at some point. And then she sees that the serial killer's got a photo with John. And it's like, oh, strong like your old man. You're like, oh, fucking hell. He's got a son, but I don't think they know it's their son. Because earlier, John and Eleanor were talking about they couldn't have a child. That's why they adopted Violet. But now he's got this son. So the illegitimate son he has that he's kept a secret from Eleanor this whole time was actually the serial killer that's killing all the kids. And she's like, what the fuck? She's like, John, what are you doing? And she goes back to John later on. Because at one point, she also goes in the crops. She sees a little string tied around one of the sugarcane stalks. And she's like, oh my God, it's here. Because Max shows up and he's like, I don't know, 16-year-old, something like that. And the little girl's like, run. There was also a scene earlier where the homeless guy she had a chat with is actually Max's dad. I don't go anywhere near those fields. Those kids are not what they look like. They look like kids, but they're not the kids. You've got to stay away. And she obviously doesn't. She doesn't give a shit. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to do it anyway. That is not our children. There's something very evil going on there. You've got to stay away from it. So Hannah goes to the pub after this. She's drinking. She's smoking. I swear she's smoking weed, but maybe they're cigarettes. I don't know. Maybe they're just the Rolos, roll your own-o type things. And she's basically seeing the drug dealer again, and he's like, hey, and he's all nervous about it. He's like, do you want to maybe get high with me? And she's like, yeah, why not? She's got an English accent. She's like, yeah, why not? And then she walks off. She's like, well, what are you waiting for? And he's like, oh, sweet. So they go back to her place and they're just smoking. He's doing meth or some shit. I didn't know if she's even fucking doing it with him, to be honest, but she's just like, oh, it's something to do. I thought they were going to have sex, to be honest. And then he's talking to her and then she says something. And then he's like, you know what? You've asked too many fucking questions. Cause she finds out that one of the girls that drowned was his sister. And he's like, you keep asking too many questions. You're playing around their fields. Just leave them alone. No one wants you here. And it's again, it's the theme of like, stop fucking asking questions. People in there, just leave him, okay? You're asking too much. And he gets really aggressive because Hannah's like, oh, I think you should leave. And he goes, I should leave. You should fucking leave. And she's like, no, leave now. And he's just like, get out of here. No one wants you. Pack your bags and fucking get out of here. And he grabs her and he's got her against the wall. And I thought he was going to assault her, but he's just like, I'm going to take you in there and pack your bags. Just fuck off. And he's so angry. Then he hears someone clock a shotgun. And then you turn around and it's John. He's got the gun back of his head. He's like, get out of here. He goes, yeah, run, oh, you dog. Yeah, right, all right, see you later. And he runs off. And then the two of them sit down and he's just like, oh, I told you to get out of here. You can't keep asking people stuff. No one wants you here. And John's like, you know what? I'm going to give you to the morning. I need you to leave. Just get out of here, please. You've got to the morning and then you're going to pack your stuff and you're out of here. And she's like, oh, right. And then because she saw this stuff, the photo earlier, she's like, what's it feel like? Because your son killed my son. He's like, oh my God, my son had problems. I'm so sorry. I don't even know what to say. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to live with this, but yeah. Don't tell Eleanor, like, she'll die if she knew I had another son. I've kept it from her. Like, we couldn't have kids. But, yeah, obviously, that was something on the side. And, yeah, there was just something wrong with him. But he's my blood. What do you want me to do? And she's just like, oh, my God. He's like, where is my son? He's like, I don't know. And then he goes into this story of, like, there was one day where Max was riding his bike and all this sort of stuff. And he wasn't on this bus trip that they said he was because they were like, oh, Max died on the bus trip. And he's like, he wasn't on the bus. And they're like, I think he was. And it was really suspicious. The stories don't check out. But yeah, what happened was that Max was on his bike riding through the cane fields. And then he sees the son that's a serial killer. And he's coming out from like dumping a body. And he's like, oh. And then the guy's like, oh, shit. And then starts chasing Max. And this is where we see the bus story as well. Because I don't know if it's like he got hit by the bus or whatever else. But like he sees him being chased. And then Max is on his bike, but he's not riding quick enough. And this guy is running so quick. But then John is also in the far distance trying to yell out like, stop, leave him alone, stop, no. And then the bus goes. But because I think he's distracted by what he's watching, he crashes the bus And then he gets out of the bus finally at the last minute. You see him like pop up. He's like, oh, oh. And then he sees the serial killer guy and he's holding Max underwater, just drowning him. And before he can even swim over, he's like, oh, stop, stop. Because he's like struggling to breathe as well. He's just managed to get out of a bus that was like about to drown him. He gets out and then he sees Max drowning and he's dead. And then the guy just walks off. He's kind of like, yeah, don't say anything. And it's like, what the hell? Why didn't you just kill that guy as well? And then he's just like, oh, so the bus driver's living with this secret. John knows it happened as well. And they're just all kept it a secret for some reason. I'm like, why are they protecting this guy so much? But then I guess because he got caught or they dobbed him out after that. I don't know. I don't know what the storyline of him getting caught after these murders, or was that his last murder and then he did another one, or I don't know how it worked. But yeah, for some reason they decided to say because he drowned, they put Max on the bus as well. And then yeah, they basically just live with this thing. It's like a few hours afterwards, if that. And then you see John outside and he's given tablets to Eleanor so she'll actually sleep and all this sort of stuff, because that's the only way she doesn't go to the crop fields, I guess. He's in the shed and then Henna hears a noise and he's basically trying to kill himself. He falls down and she's like, John, John, no, no, no. And she's trying to get him to work. And she's like, Eleanor, Eleanor. And she's yelling out and all this sort of stuff. Eleanor comes out and she's like, oh no, what's happening? And she's like, I know what I've got to do. And she's like, no, don't do it, don't do it. And she grabs like a whole thing of petrol and this like fire burner thing, I guess they burn crops with. And she's like, no, don't do it, oh, John. And she's like trying to get her husband to survive, which I feel like he's dead because you never see him ever again in the movie. And then she just goes and starts burning the field. And you're like, no, no. And you see all these kids pop up and you can see they're like, no. Like, I guess once this field is gone, the magic power is gone and these kids aren't going to live in there anymore. And these parents can't see the kids anymore and all this sort of shit. And Eleanor is just going nuts because she's like, Violet, no, 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 that's not out of way, what are you doing? And she's like, I've got to do it, I've got to do it, because she knows her son's in there as well, but she has to get back in there, but it's hard to get in there because all the children in the corner are going to try to fucking attack her or whatever else, and it's burning, and then it's like kind of the morning now, and then to just stand in there, she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. She's like, you did what you had to do, here's my keys, and she's basically packed up, ready to leave or whatever else, and then she's showing the cop, she's like, it's down there, it's 33 steps, it's the 10th field in, and then he goes there, he looks down, he starts digging a little bit, and then he starts digging it out with a hand. He's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And she's like, ah. And then it's like confirmed that the body that had the little string on earlier was her son and all this sort of shit, and they finally found it. So she's got closure. As fucked up as it is that her son's dead, it's like, yep, he's in there. And then the cop's just like, oh my god, it was so close to the house, I'm so sorry. If we literally burned this, we probably would have found it because it would have been fresh. I don't know. I don't know if you would have found it. Like, it would be hard to find something in crops because you feel like they're already sort of dug up anyway. And if they were burned, you wouldn't see anything fresh anyway. I don't really know how fucking bodies work like that. But anyway, they find the body. She gets closure. She says sorry. You can see the other parents that must show up and all this sort of stuff. The ones in the car, they show up and they're all like looking and they're all sad because they're like, now we can't see our children. And I feel like without it being said that these kids have been released now because they must be stuck. As long as the crops are there, these kids can't be free to move on to the afterlife or whatever else. But yeah, all the kids are gone, we don't see him again, and that is the end of the movie. That is the end of Sweet River. And you're just kind of like, wow, that was a depressing sort of sad movie, I guess. Like, a lot of stuff, it's kind of a ghost movie, but all this other stuff sort of taken away. It's like a serial killer movie, ghost movie, I don't know, it's a whole bunch of stuff going. It's a sort of a crime movie, it's a mystery, it's a thriller, it's like, what's going on here? But that is the end. She says goodbye to Eleanor, and that is the end of the movie. That is Sweet River. That was the movie from 2020. What did I think about it? Well, here we go, it's rating time. Now it's ratings time. There's four sections with a max score of 20. Will I be cruel or be kind? Only time will tell. Okay, part one, which is characters. Were they relatable, realistic, fun, etc.? I gave it a 2 out of 5 because I feel like I like seeing Martin Sachs and Rob Carlton, which was Wilkins the cop. I like those two in this, but otherwise, Henna was just annoying. She didn't do anything anyone ever asked. I get like she was like in grief and she wanted answers and all this sort of stuff, but she could have been nicer about it. She could have worked with someone to find out answers or been nicer to try to find out something better, but she just did whatever she wanted. She didn't give a shit for anyone. She had no disregard, and I get like she's upset, but it didn't seem like a reason to do whatever you wanted. And she just wasn't that likable. I feel like you feel sorry for her, but she keeps doing all this shit where you just like, take a hint. Like, they're basically saying, don't do this, you may die. She's like, yeah, fuck you, whatever, I don't give a shit. She just did whatever she wanted. It annoyed me after a while. But yeah, 2 out of 5, only for those two actors. I was kind of like, it's nice seeing this, but otherwise, yeah, I don't know, I didn't really relate to anyone. It was kind of annoying, and everyone just seemed a bit sort of like on edge. And I guess they're dealing with super supernatural elements, so that's why they looked a little bit more mental. But so 2 out of 5 for part one. So part two, which is the plot, was plausible, enjoyable, whatever else. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I guess within the context of what the movie was, it was plausible that there's this magical crop that kind of keeps these kids alive, and it's held alive by sort of the horrors of what happened to them and whatever else, and this serial killer is kind of a part of it, but not. I don't really understand a lot of it, actually, except that there's a buried kid and they had to find it, and that was essentially what the whole point of it was. But then all this other stuff was happening around it, and she just needed answers, and she had to find a ghost kid to get an answer. I don't know. I gave it a 3 out of 5, but I feel like realistically it might have been lower if I was being a little bit harsher, but I gave it a 3 out of 5. I don't know. I didn't feel much for this movie, to be honest. Part three is the quality effects. Did it look good? Were the effects good for it? I feel like, apart from a bunch of dirty little ghost kids, there wasn't much special effects as far as I could see. Most of the things were done practically. You don't see a lot of it. It's off screen. The kid gets drowned at one point. He's just in water. Like, you see a bus crash. You don't see anything else. You don't see any sort of effects. Like, the kids are there and they disappear, but it's only a camera going out of shot for a second, then coming back and they're gone. Like, a lot of it was practical. It was pretty good though. I like the whole, like, they look all creepy. I love the area. That was probably what sold it a lot more for me, was just I love when I drive up to Queensland and I see all these fields. They just, like, as far as you can see, it's just fields. It's all wet. It just looks nice. It's just a nice setting. It's got the mountains in the background. It looked good. So yeah, quality effects, I guess, if, like, I can add location, it's probably why I got a 3 out of 5 for that. So part four is the vibe. How did I feel after watching it? I gave it a 2 out of 5. I like seeing the actors, like I mentioned, but apart from them and the location, I really just, I don't know, I didn't go out of it. Like, there was a jump scare, which I was kind of like, oh, that was nice. Like, it got me a little bit because I was a bit tired. Didn't expect it. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't see that guy at first. Apart from that, it was just like, she was kind of so annoying with how, like, I get that she's upset and she wants answers and all this stuff, but, like, she just seems so annoying. It was like, she comes to this town, does whatever the fuck she wants, and then just burns the crops, whereas, like, she didn't think about every other parent that wants to see her. Like, she could have easily got that body without doing that. She could have just gone straight ahead. She knew exactly where it was. It's like, it's just there. Like, why didn't she just do that? She could have just told the cop, it's 33 steps over that way, just go there. I've already walked in it 500 times. I don't know why you can't just do it now. Just dig it up. There's my son. There he is. Shit. Okay, I've got closure, whatever else. But it was just a shame, because John died. It was kind of like, okay, he was a real good character. Otherwise, yeah, I just didn't care for anyone else in the movie. Didn't feel that strong for it or anything else. It wasn't that scary apart from a few things. A bunch of kids running around in fields. Yeah, that's creepy as fuck or whatever else. I don't know. Yeah, 2 out of 5. So that comes to a total of 10 out of 20. Not a huge rating for this. I feel like, I don't know if it's the mood or whatever it was when I watched it, or it's just too dark and I was just like, ah, I don't know. There's so many, like, oh, I'm not going to answer your questions. Oh, I want answers. And it was just annoying. I was like, I'm not going to tell you anything. I won't answer anything. It was just like, fuck's sake. Just what is the point of the movie then? Just, like, you got to find answers. I'm like, who are you going to find the answers off? You have to ask ghost kids. So that was 2020 Sweet River. To be honest, probably not the best movie to choose for a Christmas Day episode, but whatever. That was Sweet River. It was from 2020. It's episode 50 of the Creepy Crap Podcast. Hope everyone's having a great Christmas. And this is the last episode of season 3. So that means I'll be back in 2024. I'm not quitting after a year like the first time I did the podcast, but I will be back. But there will be a few new changes, a few new styles for the podcast, a whole bunch of new fresh ideas for 2024, which you'll find out when I come back next week, pretty much, I guess. But yeah, you'll find out real soon the new changes for the all new Creepy Crap Podcast. So stay tuned, everyone, and thank you so much for all the support this year. It's been amazing. I appreciate it so much. I haven't put too much effort into it this year, but next year's got to be a lot different. So stay tuned for the all new Creepy Crap Podcast in 2024. Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely Christmas. Thank you for the year. It's been great. And one last time for this year, thank you, Creepy Crapsters, for listening to the Creepy Crap Podcast. My name's Danny Boy, and I'll catch ya next year.